The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And they thought they could get me. They thought that they could get me. But, oh, they were wrong. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So I've got pretty good sources at City Hall, as you know. And as I understand it, Seattle's talking about putting in a tampon tax now, you know. So that's been the big buzz around City Hall the last couple of days. They want a tampon tax.
And would it be just getting rid of the sales tax on tampons and other feminine hygiene products?
Tampons and other...
Those would be exempt.
Other menstrual hygiene products, according to the proposed legislation. So my sources at City Hall tell me that they've been talking for a long time about getting rid of the tampon tax in Seattle, but there was resistance because they knew that I had three daughters still living at home several years ago. And they wanted to make sure that I still got taxed to the hilt. Because my wife and I, when the girls were in middle school and high school...
This all boils down to you?
Yeah. But here's what they don't realize. Because now, apparently the word at City Hall is, well, Monson's daughters have all graduated college, so let's get the tampon tax now, because that won't save Monson any money. Apparently, that's been the buzz rattling around the halls.
I'm guessing that your daughters still pay that tax.
Well, no, here's where the joke's on them. They never bought them in Seattle. They could have put this tax in 10 years ago, and it wouldn't have saved me a dime. So you could have been, the city of Seattle, you could have collected this tax all this time, and you delayed it until you thought that it would cost me the most or not save me money, and the joke's on you. So go ahead, do your tampon tax in Seattle. It doesn't affect me either way. Let's see what else
feel
we got
better.
Here. Big Lead. Oh, yeah, next up in the Big
I think
Lead.
You just like saying tampon tax.
The Big doesn't. Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
We've got a bunch of school bus drivers who have decided to steal an awful lot of money from the taxpayers. And that's what happens when these unions and the school teachers union, the WEA, sent out a handbook during all the teachers' strikes around here with a list of all the strategies that they should employ. And one of them is have everybody call in sick on the same day, which is stealing money. That's stealing money from taxpayers. It's stealing money from your employer. It is nothing other than theft, because sick days are supposedly for when you are sick. And these bus drivers, they are the special needs bus drivers down in the Tacoma area. 400 students missed school yesterday because the school bus didn't pick them up. And then the special ed bus driver's sick out continued today. Here's an anonymous bus driver who talked with Channel 4, ComoNews.com, and he says they're calling in sick because they're underpaid.
We can go to work in the Tacoma School District and deliver papers and file cabinets and be paid more than driving these special needs children.
Okay, so you've decided to steal money in retribution for you thinking that you're underpaid. And make no mistake, sick outs are stealing money. And when it's public employees who are doing the sick out, you're stealing money from the taxpayers. But you're also robbing these families. They have to find alternate care or miss a day of work themselves while their special needs student doesn't get picked up for school, or they have to arrange the transportation themselves, and that might affect the parents' work schedule. And here's a mother whose daughter is in a wheelchair, didn't get picked up, sat and waited for the bus. Teresa Scales talked with ComoNews.com.
Basically, I just got a call this morning, and they told me that she wouldn't be picked up today because there wasn't enough drivers. I hope they figure it out.
I hope they stop stealing money. I hope these public employees, the school bus drivers, and they work for private contractors. I get that. But when you work and contract with the school district, you're stealing taxpayer money. And here's another mom who talked with Channel 4, Candace Arrett, whose two boys are on the autism spectrum.
And then I finally called transportation, and I was told that so many drivers called out sick today, and there was no bus coming. It's difficult to handle special needs kiddos. And when you're already stressed and overworked and tired, that's not a good situation. I just hope that they can resolve this quickly.
So you're stressed, overworked, and tired, but the school bus drivers decided to steal your time and money. And here's the message parents hear if they call in. This is from Q13 News.
We have a shortage of 24 drivers and are unable to provide transportation for your student today. You will need to provide your own transportation to and from school.
24 of the 56 special needs bus drivers called in sick yesterday, and we don't have numbers today, but the sick out continued today. Here's a grandfather who talked to Q13 News.
Pretty suspicious, I guess is a good word for it.
And the thing, and the reason I have so much contempt for this particular strategy is, look, Nicole had a headache. She had a bad headache yesterday. A headache that would have sent most people home sick. But you didn't take a sick day yesterday. You fought through. You battled through.
I did.
I don't take sick days. You don't take sick days. We don't steal money from our employer. And when your employer happens to be taxpayers, I have an even more vested interest in calling out your thievery. And here's a mom who says, why don't they just drive while they talk through this?
They should be responsible for some sort of answers to all these parents and the school.
Oh, I wish they could just fire them all. Fire them all when it's a coordinated sick out like this, when you're stealing taxpayer money. But no, that's not the way we deal with public employees in our state, because we need them as a voting block, don't we? Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead update.
We told you last week about, and I said it sounded bogus to me, and now my colleague Jason Rance over on KTTH, he's got a story up on MyNorthwest.com that seems to confirm that it was bogus. Rob Johnson is a proven lying Seattle City Councilman. Rob Johnson was put in office by radical bicycle community people, and he is there to do the bidding of the bicycle community that wants to gridlock the city for cars, take out driving lanes for vehicles, and put in bicycle lanes everywhere. And one of the places that is a battleground is 35th Avenue Northeast, a busy street in the Wedgwood area of Seattle. Wedgwood heading toward Laurelhurst there. Busy street. I drive it often. And they want to take out a lane for cars each direction, and they want to put in bike lanes. Well, there are an awful lot of citizens who live and work in that neighborhood, and they don't want that because they're also going to take away parking on one side of the street. So people aren't going to be able to park in front of their homes. There are businesses where their customers aren't going to be able to park. And they have risen up in opposition. Passionate opposition, because I've talked to business owners who say it's tough enough these days to make it with a small business with all the taxes and the competition from Amazon and all of the other pressures that mom and pop businesses face. We don't need government using their agenda of who elected them in office to destroy these family businesses. And so they're passionate about this. They don't want their neighborhood destroyed. They don't want gridlock for cars. They don't want, there's a bicycle street just a few blocks west, and there's the Burkeelman Trail just a few blocks east going north-south. But they want to take out a car lane and put in a bike lane on 35th, which nobody's going to use. And so these businesses, they see and they fear legitimately their livelihood being destroyed. And so they've been very vocal in their opposition. And Rob Johnson, the lying Seattle City Councilman, he said that he did not know how opposed his constituents were to this project. And that is just a flat-out lie, because you heard on my shows a couple of months ago, the lawyer that the neighborhood activists have hired, he obtained text messages and emails that Rob Johnson was a part of, where he was told exactly what the polling numbers were and how strongly his constituents were opposed to this project. And he lied about it. He said he had no idea that his constituents were opposed when he had received polling data a year and a half earlier that told him how opposed they were. And so he is just a flat-out liar. So Rob Johnson last week, as this has gotten more and more heated, Rob Johnson said that he had received death threats over the bike lane. I told you about that a week ago. And make no mistake, I said if he had received death threats, and I doubt if he had, but if he had, it wasn't because he supports bike lanes, but it's because he was a liar who did not tell honestly what he knew about his constituents' opposition. We have a representative government, and it's reasonable for constituents to expect the politicians who are elected to do their will. And Rob Johnson not only didn't do their will, he lied about not knowing their will, and then did the exact opposite because of his bicycle overlords who made sure that they got a Seattle City Council position for their radical agenda. So now everybody's been saying, you got death threats. Where's the police report? So here's the update to this story. He didn't file a police report. He said that he, and by the way, if you got a death threat as a city councilman, you would report that to the police, right? Well, Jason contacted Rob Johnson's office, didn't get any response, contacted the council's communications director, and found out, they said, well, look on nextdoor.com, the community blog, for the death threats. Jason did. He couldn't find anything. And then the neighborhood activist reached out to Johnson, and what Rob Johnson said was that somebody called him a dead man walking. And what they meant was, as a city councilman, that he's going to be replaced next year. It's a very common phrase for somebody whose days are numbered in a job. But Johnson, he claims that he took that dead man walking as a death threat, but never reported it to the police. Then he says that he told the city clerk, the head of security at City Hall, the mayor's security team, in an interview with the Seattle Times, that tweet is quoted. And we don't know what they were responding to, but the tweeter said, yep, former Councilman Johnson, dead man walking, meaning former, he's going to be moved out of office. Dead man walking is a very common phrase for that. And so we don't have the full context of it, but Johnson wrote, I don't know if those threats are then formally filed with the Seattle Police Department. The mayor's security team is made up of SPD officers. I've been assured on multiple occasions by members of the mayor's security team that they've been monitoring those social media accounts and have been following up. Well, I'll tell you right now, if he really thought he had gotten a death threat, he would have filed a police report. That's what you do. He is no doubt lying. He took a tweet about him being bounced out of office in the next election, and he just lies about that being a threat on his life in order to make the opponents, the neighborhood, the business owners, the residents look bad, look like a bunch of zealot extremists. But Rob Johnson has a history of lying. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big local.
I got a lot of local news to talk about today, and then I'll get to all the national stuff in the next segment of the show. A Lake City couple has been placed in an apartment for low-income people. But this is a couple we've told you about before. They had to remove these big concrete planters that they had in Lake City because this man and woman, the woman especially, they insisted on defecating in the planters. His name's Dennis. Her name is Kimmy. Channel 4, ComoNews.com. They went out and asked this couple of weeks ago if they knew why these planters were being removed, because the city at great expense went in, tore them out. They were put in for trees and plants to make the neighborhood more beautiful, but because she was pooping in it on a regular basis, they decided to take them out.
You know why they're removing the trees on the plant?
Yeah, because we've been sitting there. We've been camping out there.
Do you have any idea why they're moving you?
I know something about Bush presidency, about Iraqi war in Libya.
Bush presidency, the Iraqi war in Libya are why they're taking out the planters. So obviously a mentally ill person on the streets. Well, they were placed in a low-income or no-income apartment building subsidized by the taxpayers. But a lot of the people, the residents in this building said, wait a second, we were all told that you have to be a single person, no couples in this building. And this couple that was on the streets pooping in the planters, they moved to the front of the line when there are a lot of people who have been waiting patiently for housing. And what they believe has happened is that City Hall, because they were visible, because they were pooping in the planter, that the city just decided, well, let's get them out of sight, out of mind. And Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they went in with Dennis as he toured his new apartment.
This has got to be a lot better than living on the street.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a lot better. I like it. I actually like it. Mm-hmm. It was really comfortable. I'm not sure about the bed yet. I might sleep on the floor.
So that is how you move to the front of the line, apparently. You poop in planters, and then the city will be eager to get you out of sight. Another tenant in that building says, well, they told us no couples, and now they're putting a couple in here.
People have been told here for years that no couples, it's strictly single. And other people that are waiting for housing are just thrown back by the wayside. And people here feel that it's a political thing.
Well, we reward the most aberrant of behavior. And that's why we've become such a magnet for homeless around the country. We reward bad behavior. And by the way, somebody as mentally ill as that woman who thinks they were taking out the planters because of Bush and the Iraqi war in Libya should not be living in a taxpayer-subsidized apartment. She should be getting mental health treatment. And so the beat goes on in the shell game that is homelessness throughout our region. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Well, we got a lot of stuff going on with our supposed news networks in America. That some of the things that have been said since I went off the air yesterday are about as reprehensible as news gets. We got the audio for you coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. Love to hear what you have to say about any of the things we discuss. It's the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. One of the particularly stupid things about what the president said about his executive order to eliminate the anchor baby and you know, birth citizenship for if illegals in our country give birth. And let me play in greater detail. This is what he told Axios on HBO. It's going to air this weekend about his planned executive order to end birth citizenship.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Right. 14th Amendment.
You don't. Number one, you don't need that.
Okay, first of all, you do need that, but let's go on.
I mean, that's in dispute.
You could definitely
that's very much in dispute.
Well, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order.
Okay, what does that mean? Who's they? Now they're saying, it's just dumb. They're saying you can do it with an executive order. And there's one aspect of this that I haven't heard anybody discussing. Why this will never happen, but let me play the rest of the soundbite, and then I'll tell you why this will never happen.
But now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order. Now, how ridiculous. We're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all of those benefits. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it has to end.
Have you talked about that with counsel?
Yeah, I have.
So where in the process?
It's in the process. It'll happen. With an executive order. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's exactly very interesting. What I'm
talking about. I didn't think anybody but knew that but me. I thought I was the only one. Jonathan,
I've got a good guess.
Okay, now it's not going to happen, and here's why. And this is what I haven't heard anybody discussing, especially not with this Supreme Court, with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, the two justices that Trump nominated for and got placed on the bench. Because this Supreme Court, as much or more than any in recent memory, they are constitutionalists. That was one of the criteria that Donald Trump, and good for him. I want constitutionalists on the Supreme Court. But of all the courts that would say, yeah, we're going to let you go around the U.S. Constitution with an executive order, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh would never allow that. And they're part of the majority on the Supreme Court now that are constitutionalists. And so it's just not going to happen. You know, Bob Ferguson, our attorney general, he immediately sent out a press release. The most dangerous place in the world is between Bob Ferguson and his press release. He went running to his press release person. I'm going to sue Trump if he does this. Well, Trump's not going to do it. The Supreme Court would never allow it. But Bob Ferguson got a press release out there because he wants to be governor of our state. Man, it's going to be ugly if Bob Ferguson's elected governor. And then you have these lying scumbags on cable news. CNN, since I went on the air at noon, CNN has had a graphic up. Because some of the victims of that shooting Saturday in Pittsburgh, some of their funerals are today. Donald Trump's going to meet with the families. And CNN has had a graphic up. Local Jewish leaders refuse to meet with Trump. Which is just a lie. It's a flat-out lie. They aren't Jewish leaders. These are a very active Democrat political action group that happens to be Jewish. But they're not leaders. There's nothing about them that has made them leaders in Pittsburgh. They are part of a group called Bend the Arc, which is a left-wing organization that's been committed to electing Democrats. It was founded in part by Alexander Soros, the son of George Soros. Oh, what a shock! A left-wing political action committee won't meet with President Trump. And CNN doesn't give any of that context. They call them leaders when they're not. They're politically active Jewish people funded by Alexander Soros. Of course they're not meeting with Trump. But CNN, oh, the leaders are rejecting Trump. The actual Jewish leader from the Tree of Life Synagogue, where the 11 people were murdered, he said yesterday that President Trump is always welcome in his congregation. So, but man, that is just par for the course for CNN. Last night, CNN had on a guest. Her name is Julia Ioffe. She writes for GQ. A GQ writer is such an expert on social affairs and political affairs in our country, right? Well, what's her credential? Well, Julia Ioffe, she got fired from Politico, which is a left-leaning website. They fired her because she said something so extremist. This was on December 14th of 2016. Julia Ioffe tweeted, either Trump is effing his daughter, but she wrote out the word, either Trump is effing his daughter or he's shirking nepotism laws. Which is worse? Well, Politico said, we can't have somebody that radical. Yeah, we like a leftist message, but we can't have somebody that radical who's accusing Ivanka of having sex with her father. That's a little beyond the pale. So she gets fired by Politico, but because she's such a radical, CNN loves having her on. And she said something that was just absolutely outrageous last night.
This president has radicalized so many more people than ISIS ever did. I mean, the way he talks, the way he...
The way he winks
and nods to these groups, the way he says, I know I'm not supposed to say it, but I'm a nationalist, the way that he hems and haws when he has to condemn these people and kind of gritting his teeth, kind of says, fine, okay, I condemn this, but then, you know, and
Jake,
all his...
For you not to push back on that.
You're about to push back, but for her to say...
Yeah, the host of the show wouldn't push back. One of the other guests said that's one of the most irresponsible things I've ever heard. And it is. To say that he's radicalized more people than ISIS. But that's what's par for the course at CNN now. You know, they lie about the local Jewish leaders in Pittsburgh. They put on people who get fired because of their extremist tweets. And then they, you know, are thrilled when she says he's radicalized more people than ISIS. I got a lot of other audio I got to play. Let me take a quick time out because I got to go through all of this with you because it, once again, is a glaring example of how the worst aspect of division in America is coming from so-called news networks. So we'll have all of it. And yeah, I'll tell you the truth. When Trump says something unconstitutional, we'll call him out on it. But when the networks say stuff that is provable lies, we'll call them out too. So we'll continue rolling through this audio in just a moment here on the Dory Monson Show. Getting a lot of text messages on my comments that the president's not going to be able to end birthright citizenship with an executive order. And I know the point that everybody's making, that the 14th Amendment was written to protect, you know, the children of slaves. But that's not how it's, maybe that's why it was written, but that's not how it was written. And the argument is, well, Trump's going to sign this executive order so it will go to the Supreme Court and they may reinterpret the Constitution that the 14th Amendment was written about slaves, not illegals coming here to have babies. The challenge with that is the constitutionalist judges, they've said that they do not think the Constitution is a living, breathing, evolving document, that it is the law of the land as written. And it's pretty clear. All persons born in the United States are citizens of the United States. I mean, it's really cut and dry. So I'd be surprised if this court overturned the words. That might not have been the intent, but there was a sloppily written amendment, if that was truly the intent. But given the words of the document and the fact they're strict constitutionalists, I don't think the Supreme Court, these judges in particular, would overturn that. But I appreciate all the comments, getting lots of comments from you. Okay, so I played for you that outrageous CNN guest, the GQ correspondent, who at one point said that the president was bleeping his daughter. So she's the one who said, if you're just joining us,
this president has radicalized so many more people than ISIS ever did. I mean,
okay, just an outrageous statement. She later had to go on the air and give a non-apology apology.
The Republican National Committee is jumping on your comments. You earlier in the show said that Donald Trump has radicalized more people than ISIS has. David and Mona disagreed with you strongly. Is something you wanted to clarify?
Yeah, but Jake Tapper let her get away with it because he's such a weak host.
I do want to clarify. I think I spoke in the heat of the moment. This has been a very emotional and personally painful time for me. I think I exaggerated, and I apologize for that. But
That's a great apology. I apologize for that. But the point I'm making is, and then she kind of restated it,
fistedly to make, is that it's not a coincidence that, according to the ADL, the number of anti-Semitic attacks has jumped by nearly 60% in the first year that Donald Trump was in office. And it's no coincidence.
Also a lie. Also just a flat out lie. What the ADL said is that the number of not hate crimes and not attacks, but incidents has increased 60%, which is incidents versus hate crimes. Incidents can be, you know, a kid saying something anti-Semitic to a Jewish kid at school. And that's what has gone up 60%, the total number of incidents, not attacks, not hate crimes. Now, again, Jake Tapper is either too much of a propagandist or too stupid to know the real stat behind that. But, and I'm guessing it's more that he's a propagandist and he allows his radical guest to just tell lies over and over. Donald Trump was on with Laura Ingraham last night, and he was asked about the radicalized more people than ISIS.
There was a woman who was just on CNN a short while ago saying that you have radicalized more people than ISIS. That was CNN today.
Well, that must be some kind of a sick woman.
Yeah, she is a sick woman. I mean, that tweet about his daughter is proof of that. But she said a lot of things in that CNN interview yesterday that were just flat out lies. But this is what passes for news these days.
Oh, I have to say, it's not just, you know, the freaks that Steve mentioned that hear this, pick up an AR-15 that they can buy as easily as they can buy a pack of cigarettes.
You mean Rick?
Rick.
Yeah.
You know what she said? You can pick up an AR-15 as easily as you can buy a pack of cigarettes. That's just patently untrue. Not untrue. It's a lie. It's a lie that passes for truth when Jake Tapper's hosting on CNN. And then there was this about, you know, Trump has a 50% approval rate. So 50% of the country seem to support the president right now, according to Rasmussen.
That matters as much as the perpetrators. It's the people who turn their gaze, who avert their eyes, and who think, you know, well, at least we're getting our tax cuts.
Yeah.
Do you get that? The Trump supporters, she said, are just as bad as the perpetrators. So 50% of America, according to this radical guest on CNN, 50% of America is as bad as the crazed gunman who murdered 11 people in a synagogue on Saturday. That's exactly the equivalency she's making there.
That matters as much as the perpetrators. It's the people who turn their gaze, who avert their eyes, and who think, you know, well, at least we're getting our tax cuts.
Yeah.
So if you're a supporter of the president, you are as bad as the perpetrators. And CNN claims that it's the president's fault that there's such a hateful divide. They do this for 24 hours a day. And have for 2 years. And they apparently don't recognize. I got so much other audio. I'll play it for you later in the show, too. That illustrates this point. But I don't think there's a more hateful group in media than those at CNN. That's for sure. Fastest 15. It's coming up next.